Good morning and welcome. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning, and welcome to those worshiping via the live stream. Receive this call to worship from Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Bring glory and honor to God for his goodness and his faithfulness. Praise him with all of your heart. Confess Jesus as Lord through your worship this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, all honor and glory is due to you. You created the heavens and the earth. You placed the stars in the sky, and you have given us a wonderful creation that points to you. We just humbly come before you, offering our praise and our worship of you, God. We thank you for your spirit that lives in us, and we thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice made on the cross for us. Bring healing to our nation. Draw it back to you. This world needs you, Jesus. Just bring peace and restoration to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glad you can all be here this morning, and there's a little bit of a hole up here with some people missing from the youth group at the youth retreat. So let's pray that they are receiving God's blessing there as well. It's also a blessing for Ann and I to have our son and daughter-in-law, Michael and Julia Becker, along with our grandson Isaiah and another unnamed one that's coming to mourn this summer. So glad that they're here. They will be sharing a little bit this afternoon. And they have a table display set up over here. If you're not staying for the afternoon, you can look at some of the things that God's calling them to. God's calling us to bless his name. So this first song, we're going to lift the offering. Offering is for short-term missions for people who are taking a year or less of their time to go and experience God's goodness in some other place than here.
Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day, this beautiful day you have given us to remember you, to worship you, to glorify you, to be strengthened by you, so that we can go out and tell the good news of your Son. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. We offer a portion back to you for the work of the church and short-term missions. Father, we lift up the Beckers and their efforts, and we just pray an extra blessing on them. We thank you again. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Our theme for this morning is new, and thinking about the new things in my life way, way back. Being a third child, I didn't get a whole lot of new things, but this guitar that I'm playing was given to me for graduation gift. It was one of the things that I got that was at one time brand new a few years ago. Anyway, I want to use that for God's honor and glory. I also think of relationships that were strained at times in my life, sometimes maybe with my wife Anne, or with co-workers, with ministry leaders, and how Jesus has come and made those things new as well, so that I can live in the blessed experience that God wants to have for us. And so another recent new thing is this stand. A couple of people have asked me about it, but last year, probably the last 6 months of last year, I had a lot of trouble with my shoulder, and I couldn't have a lot of pain when I would lead worship, and Just was thinking maybe I have to give this up. But my son, Jeff, he's here. Jeff Adania, thank you, Jeff. He made this for my Christmas gift. And just hang the guitar on there and just stays there. So it's new and allows me to be able to carry out the mission that God has for me. We know Peter as a hero of the faith. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." When Peter preached at Pentecost, 3,000 new believers were added to the church in one day. But this is not where Peter started. Peter's story shows us that Jesus offers a new relationship, new purpose to those who have denied and rejected him. Luke 22 says this.
Then, seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said,
"This man was with him."
But he denied it.
"Woman, I don't know him,"
he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said,
"You also are one of them."
"Ma'am, I am not,"
Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted,
"Certainly. This fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean."
Peter replied,
"Man, I don't know what you're talking about."
Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him.
"Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times.
And he went outside and wept bitterly. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
When Jesus had said this, he breathed his last.
Mystery of the cross again.
Thank you.
Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me?
Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Feed my sheep.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus to every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus because your name is
is power, your name is healing.
reconciliation and to share that new life with others. We just pray for local evangelism and discipleship. We ask that your powerful love and truth would be displayed through Pastor Larry at Brubaker Excavating, through our pastors and this body of believers, to the children of Before and After at Elevate and Flowing Waters. We ask that many people in our community could experience the new life and the new spirit that you offer.
Lord, we ask for God-fearing leaders in this nation and in the nations around the world. We pray that they will be filled with a knowledge of you and have a holy fear of you, and to know in their heart, that one day they will see you and have to give an account for every word and deed. And we ask God that they would submit to you and that you would be the new authority in their life.
We pray for workers who respond to natural disasters around the world. Lord, fill them with love and endurance beyond their own. Provide resources and help for overwhelming needs. We pray for the people in Turkey and Syria who have lost loved ones and every earthly possession. Lord, have mercy on them. Give them a new hope, the hope in you in the midst of this devastation. We also just pray for the many workers who are going to, particularly in Syria and Turkey, going to provide relief efforts. And God, we just ask that this would be a time that people who go to provide relief efforts would catch your heart for the nations, and they would just be drawn into Turkey and just come back as long-term workers to share you and proclaim your name throughout the world. So God, we just ask for a great sending out of workers of the harvest even through this disaster.
God, we pray for ministries of literature and radio that can go where just our physical presence can't go. And we ask that the Bible could be provided in new languages at a level that people can actually understand, and that they would receive salvation in Jesus and a new future in you, God.
Lord, we lift up to you missionaries who physically go to the least reached. You have given them a new purpose to leave home, possessions, and family to go to an unknown climate, culture, and language, risking everything that some would hear of you for the first time. Lord, we ask that you would prepare the way and bring many sons and daughters to glory from every nation, tribe, people, and language.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. It's time for our children's message. Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Boy, that doesn't sound like a lot of energy. You must be kind of sleepy. That's all right. Sometimes I get sleepy when I have to get up early and my routine's different and I'd like to sleep in, but I can't. Sometimes I need extra energy. So, have you guys ever heard of this? It's a name. It's kintsugi. It is a Japanese form of pottery where you take a broken pot or some form of ceramics and you glue it back together. And then you fill in the cracks with a gold dust, making something beautiful out of something that was broken, that wasn't worth anything. And so these pieces of broken pottery become worth more than the original. They go from trash to treasure because they were broken and not worth anything. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that when we have Jesus as our Savior, the old is gone and we are made new. God forgives us of our sins, and he takes all the broken pieces of our lives and he puts them back together and he makes us whole. He makes us more beautiful than we were before. God has always seen us as a treasure, but he makes us complete. So I want you guys to remember that God loves you. And when you have Jesus in your hearts, he makes you whole. He makes you complete. And he makes you new. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and you can have a snack, and then you can go back to your seats. So, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these children. Bless them. Call them to you. I pray that each one would accept you, Jesus, as their Savior, that you would come into their hearts as Lord. Help them to see you, that you are the one who puts us back together. And that you see us as a treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack.
That was short.
Well, sometimes they are. Oh, I missed the slide. See, we kind of have the... See that piece missing? It's kind of shaped like a cross. We have part of us missing when we don't have Jesus in our hearts. Good morning, Paige. Well, good morning again. Welcome. Thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. They are appreciated very much. Last Sunday was the first Sunday that our Connect cards and the holders were there. So I encourage you to fill one out if you have any information changes, any prayer requests. want to make any comments, just feel free to write on those and drop them in the box. There's one in the back to the left here at the top of the stairs, and there's one in the entryway by the carport. I'll collect those. There's also a note in your bulletin with information on. I'd just like to thank Steve Horning and all the guys who worked on them to make them and install them. Thank you for all your hard work. It is appreciated very much. Continue to hold Anna Mae and the Wise family up in your prayers as they grieve the loss of Alvin. I'd like to take a moment and just pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, we just lift Anna Mae up to you and the Wise family. Just give them your peace and your comfort in this time of grieving and loss. Just come close to them. Be with everyone here as well who has lost a loved one. I just pray that you would continue to bring healing to their grief and pour out your love upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Larry started with our Lenten series looking at being shaped by testing. And we're going to continue our series with our message titled Shaped by New Birth. New birth happens all around us. God displays this in the natural world all around us. In the spring, the trees begin to bud and bloom, leaves grow, creating a green covering across the mountains. Flowers begin to grow and bloom, and the grass turns green. We have bees and other flying insects flying around on those flowers. Many animals have their young in the spring. The hibernating animals come out, they wake up. And then it gives birth into summertime. The days are longer, they're hotter. We get to enjoy things like ice cream and swimming and other outdoor activities. And then we move into fall. Wait a minute, fall, that seems like it more death than new birth, but those leaves changing their colors definitely looks like something new, because those colors just change the landscape into something vibrant that pictures and paintings just can't describe. Gives us cooler temperatures, relief from the summer heat that we had enjoyed. You know, by the end of the summer, you kind of want some cooler days. It also gives us maple syrup. Because who wants a pancake without maple syrup? Maybe not everybody likes maple syrup, but man, to not have maple syrup on my pancakes, sorry. You get salmon running up river. Not all salmon run up river and die, but they run up river to spawn. And through this comes new life, and the next generation is born. A cold winter brings benefits that help in the spring, less weeds, less disease, insects, and the beauty of snow, making the earth look pure, at least till the snowplows get to it anyway. New birth is all around us. God is at work everywhere. In the book of Genesis, God is starting something new. And in Genesis 12, God is calling Abram to go to a new land, away from his family, his security, everything that he knows, to where he had to rely totally on God. His journey was a little over 400 miles. That's about the same as driving from here to Columbus, Ohio. I mean, for us, that wouldn't be that bad. You could get on a bus, hop in your car. Wouldn't take that long to get there. It'd be a fairly easy journey with our highways that we have. But to follow a dirt path, maybe a dirt road if you're near a town, with donkeys and camels and sheep and everything that you own, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to listen and follow God's direction as he leads you. So Genesis 12:1-9. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. That's a long journey for someone who's 75. Walking 400 plus miles, yeah, that would be even tough for someone younger. It's just amazing how God was with him. So Abram, he took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions he had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. God called Abram to a new work that he was doing. God was birthing something new. It took hard work. It took effort to travel and follow God's leading and direction to a new land where God would bless him, bless all the nations through him, that his name would be made great. God was shaping Abram, growing his faith, even though Abram would not see the result of this great nation growing and forming in his lifetime. He followed God in faith to a new promise. I could imagine how difficult that would be to leave your family and everyone you know to go to a place where God led you to go. Especially for Abram, because God said he would make him into a great nation, and Sarai, his wife, was childless. But God continually says, "I'm going to make you into a great nation, and it's going to come from Sarai." And in their old age, God delivered on his promise. And as we look back through the Old Testament, we can see how God was continually faithful. God was working. His theme of new birth through the whole Old Testament until we get to the beginning of the New Testament and the birth of Jesus as a baby. His birth, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection were for us so that we could be born again. And when we follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are made into a new creation. John 3, 1 to 9. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi," Nicodemus is coming to Jesus to talk to him in secret, "we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him, "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I guess I added some verses after I made this slide, so I'll continue reading. "Truly, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. In this private conversation that Nicodemus and Jesus were having, Nicodemus is having problems understanding being born again. I mean, I think we can all understand what it means to be born. We were all babies at one time. We all came from our mother at one point. And from that moment on, we're being shaped, we're being changed by our families, the situations that we come up against. We're being shaped. Whether those things are good or bad, those sources are shaping us. And as we grow and we mature, we're constantly being shaped and changed by the world around us. And as a parent, I'm trying to pass on those things that God has taught me to my children. Being born again is so difficult to grasp for Nicodemus. Jesus uses the parable of the wind blowing to try to help him understand, because Nicodemus's focus was the law. You had to follow the law. The law is what saved you. If you followed the law every day, you were good. You didn't have to worry about it. But Jesus is here to bring something new to life. And Jesus is testifying that belief in Him, the Son of God, the Messiah, will give you eternal life. James 1, 17 and 18, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. God has given us everything that is good, and He is calling us to Himself. He gave us a new birth through the truth. That truth is Jesus. Do we become like Nicodemus, getting stuck on tradition and laws, or do we allow God to keep shaping us and changing us? Changing us like Abraham's journey to become Abraham, where we are continually shaped as a new creation. Do we go where God calls us to go, even if that means to distant lands? Being born again, accepting Jesus as our Savior, starts a continual reshaping process. We're being worked on, we're being shaped, we're being refined, we're being changed, we're being made into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells Nicodemus that we must be born of the Spirit. See, when we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, and in that moment we are born again. This is the start of the journey of being shaped and changed and made new and being changed into the image of God. The Holy Spirit usually is working ahead of time, working on our hearts so that when we hear the gospel message, we accept it. And when we accept Jesus, this is the beginning of a journey where we are continually shaped and changed and being made new. It takes place in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, and it just flows out of our physical bodies because the Holy Spirit is there, moving in us. The Holy Spirit, given by God, comes and lives in us, teaching us and correcting us and shaping us in the image of Christ. Doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes God goes and fixes some major things that we have in our lives, but usually it's a process. It's a continual process. And it's just not for new followers of Jesus. This is for those who have been following Jesus for decades and decades. He's always shaping us, changing us, making us new, turning us to the image of Christ. Titus 3, 1-9 gives us the example of how to live a life that shows we are being shaped because of our faith in Jesus. Titus 3:1-9. Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone, but avoid foolish debates, genealogies, quarrels, and disputes about the law, because they are unprofitable and worthless. When we come under God's authority, we are able to come under man's authority. We can have people above us because we know who is truly in control. And we can do this without wavering in our faith. And we can have self-control, these actions that show others that we're being washed, we're being reborn, we're being remade new, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. See, if we go on arguing and debating everything, like the world around us does all the time, then we as a church, a community of believers, are no different than the world. We're no different than they are. If we can't show the love of Jesus to everyone, then we really have to ask ourselves, am I really being changed? Am I really being reshaped into God's image? Is His word and truth in my life, or is the world shaping me, impacting me, changing me? If it's the world that is shaping me, then I need to come back to God and repent and ask Him for forgiveness, to forgive me and change me. I think it's really awesome how the Holy Spirit works and speaks to our worship team, some of the things they read about Peter denying Jesus 3 times, because I have that in here. Peter denied Jesus 3 times the night he was arrested. He gave in to the fear of the word. Feel the word. Fear of the world. God was shaping him and building him throughout his ministry. Peter said that he would die for Jesus, yet he denied him. And we can see the shaping process just took a right turn when Peter denied Jesus. And we can see that Peter realized what was happening, because he went away broken and weeping bitterly because he allowed the world to come between him and Jesus. Can you just imagine what Peter was feeling when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Even if Peter wasn't there, he knew what happened. Yet we look farther ahead, and Jesus has this restoration moment where Peter jumps out of the boat that he was fishing in and he swims to shore because he saw it was Jesus. And Jesus asks Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers 3 times, "Yes." These events shaped Peter for the rest of his life, with the determination of never denying Jesus again. Peter boldly lives a life for Jesus. Rejecting Jesus It doesn't have to be the end. It doesn't have to be our end. Jesus is there to restore us. And when we come back to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He is faithful. And God can use those events to shape us for His good, for His purpose. Now, that's not a license to go and sin. We don't want to reject Jesus so that we can say, oh, wow, look what God did for me. No, we want to follow Him every day, and we don't want to reject Him. But God can use that. He can turn it and make it something useful for His kingdom's work. So throughout this Lenten season, take time. Time to reflect on your relationship with the Lord. What is He doing in your life? What is He doing in your heart? How is He shaping you? If He's not shaping you, seek Him, press into Him, go and repent if necessary. How is God shaping you? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank You for saving us from our sins. Thank You for continually shaping us, changing us, making us more like You. Thank You for giving us new life, being born again in You. Thank You for Your forgiveness and restoration to right relationships with You. Speak to our hearts. If there are areas that need to be turned over to You, I just pray that You would show them to us, that we'd be able to hear You and open them up to You so that You can continually shape us and change us and renew us and conform us to the image of Christ. As we go through this season of Lent, speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to You so that it's just not something that we do this time of the year, so that it impacts our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that it changes us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward.
Our last song is, "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than You."
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I take my trust, the sweetest ray, but wholly lean on Jesus' way. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other
So I have some announcements, but before I get into them, I'm just going to share a little bit about how God is working on me this morning, shaping me. Last few days, I haven't slept really well, and last night, I woke up at about 3:30 in the morning, and I was trying to run through my sermon this morning, and I was falling asleep, and I'm sitting here with no energy, there's just nothing left. And as I was praising and worshiping God, He came and gave me what I needed, and I just wanted to share that God is continually working on us and reshaping us, and He is proving Himself faithful, so I wanted to testify to that. So I just want to draw your attention to the note in your bulletin about the Lenten lunches. That's there for you to look at. And this is the last Sunday for anyone who would like to be a part of the New Believers class. After this, I will make up a schedule and hand it out to the individuals in that class. There's also one correction for the nomination ballot in your mailbox this Sunday. It should say primary Sunday school superintendent and not assistant primary Sunday school superintendent. So that's just a little correction. You can just scribble that out. So will you stand for the parting benediction? May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.